Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Today on Quick Slants of Podcast, we're going to go quick fire on a number of topics impacting the New England Patriots and the NFL in general. It's Mayo, it's Perry, it's me, Tom Curran, using this tired-ass voice at the beginning of the podcast.
All right, fellas.
That's what I'm talking about.
That was better.
Yeah, you can't cuss on the intro.
Good
That's
energy.
That's not a cuss. Ass isn't a cuss.
You didn't use ass as the animal.
This guy acts like he didn't spend 8 years in an NFL locker room.
But I know our audience. Oh, now it's locker room talk.
Yes, yeah.
Locker room
yeah,
talk?
It is. I've
You're
heard
bringing
it.
That up?
I've been in there, too.
You have not been in there.
But I've heard it.
The heck? That's a heck. I have four young kids.
They don't listen to the podcast.
They listen. And okay, you know what they ask me every night? Daddy, why don't you guys have a sponsor yet? And I'm like, you know what? I'm like, go to sleep. No TV.
It's because
I'm talking about that.
and that's when I get angry.
It's because of the mild language.
Exactly.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Phil, fire it up.
Tom, a couple quick cleanup topics I want to touch on before we've beaten a dead horse to become even more dead.
Sure.
Phase 3 is approaching. Dead. Phase 3 of the offseason workout program. That means OTA practices. That means offense versus defense. It means 7-on-7, 11-on-11. No pads, helmets only. No contact. But we're reaching a new phase, and Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski still haven't shown up. Should they show up for the start of that phase when that does begin? It's May 21st.
Yep, May 21st, and it'll be the first time that there are actually OTAs. What we've been seeing so far are voluntary workouts. OTAs means everybody, and we get some thunder rolling through here in Burlington, Massachusetts.
I thought
but
that
you
was
know
your
what?
Stomach.
Gerard. No, it wasn't.
You had that Chipotle.
Goddamn poop.
You had that Chipotle.
All right. There goes another
guy's just on fire today. Some days he just comes in and he's a comedian.
Yeah,
I have great energy.
He does have great energy. I think it's the coffee though.
Let's rewind it though.
Yeah.
So there, you know, you said there's no contact. There's a little bit, right?
There's guys like holding pads and like blocking pads.
There's no
blockers.
There are no collisions. Well, they're not. But you know, some things you just can't help.
Well, the NFL was going to review films. You saw the Seattle Seahawks a couple of years ago lose a draft pick because of
but they were actually going out there
like contract.
They were banging around, and that's how they play anyway.
Right? Like, bunch of tough guys out there.
Tough to tough.
Yeah, it's Legion of Doom. Boom.
Legion of Doom. It is what it is. But listen, so...
Okay, so it was a big deal when they didn't show up after 2 weeks, and now it's an even bigger deal, right?
No, it's not, because the thing... We've said this for a while now, and for the listeners who have continued to listen from the beginning...
Yeah, they know.
We have said they will not show up until mandatory minicamp.
Because if they miss the first 2 weeks, you're either in or you're out, and they're out.
Now
you seem like you're speaking from a position of knowledge.
No, but let's take it back a little bit.
Are you?
Let's just take it back a little bit.
Do you know this for a fact?
Nope, hold on before we take it back.
Wait, can I say this?
Do you have knowledge?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't have any inside knowledge. I am here with you guys. Listen.
He did not avert his eyes either. He was looking us in the eye.
You know how, so Bill would say, you know, if you guys are going to work out here, you're going to work out.
Right.
You know, be here for the first day. You're not going, you know, come in and then leaving, right?
Right.
I don't know if that is the same as, hey, if you're going to come to OTAs, voluntary OTAs, I don't know if that is applicable to the OTA or just the weight room. I have to think about that. Does that make sense?
I think it's different. I think, but why would I know more than you would? But
you know, honestly, I don't see these guys coming back until mandatory minicamp. That's just my perspective.
Because they spent this much time away, why would they come back at this point?
Of course.
Because there are things that you can do during phase two. Like, I think the
implication
is...
You have all these different guys you can throw
with. And I think some people think that you can't work with those guys if you're a quarterback until phase three. That's not the case. You could be, if you're Tom Brady, throwing with these guys for the better part of a month.
You could have them
now at this point.
Yes,
phase two, you do. It's mostly individual drills. But even going back to phase one, when it's focused on strength and conditioning, you can play catch. Quarterbacks and receivers can play catch. So that kind of chemistry can be built up from day one, which is why they like everybody to be there.
So what happens when Tom comes back, right? And we're just, you know, Gronk's going to do his thing, whatever. Does Tom come back for, and I'm just thinking this through, does he come back for OTAs, then leave again when they're working out, and then come back for OTAs, then leave again when they work out, and then come back for minicamp? Or if he comes back for OTAs, this first OTA, does he just stay? Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, to me, it would make sense. If you come, look, I skipped phase one because it was strength and conditioning. I skipped phase two because it was...
because it was just individual drills. Whatever. Coaches on the field, that's not a big deal to me.
But again, why are we talking about this? Because over the years, we've been persuaded that Gerard will stir his tea right underneath the microphone. And we've been persuaded that this is a very important time in the offseason. That this is when the foundation is built between quarterback and receiver. Jordan Matthews is new. Kenny Britt, fairly new still.
But that's not true, though.
Jordan Matthews isn't new?
No. You can only build but so much without pads. Because the timing in pads is totally different. Because now these defenders can jam you up.
Okay, but
so
what
the
about
timing
looks?
Is totally
I
different.
Mean, we've seen Gronk, Darrell Revis, and
so then why
Brady.
Does anybody show up then? I would pose that to you.
Why show up? I'm just going from Tom's perspective.
Okay.
I'm coming from Tom's perspective. Okay. I'm not saying the
Tom's
rest of the team.
Brady's.
Brady, yeah. Sorry.
That's my thing. If there are people out there, and I think there are fans out there,
Brokaw?
Who say, until the pads come on, none of it matters.
Tom Brokaw?
So, like, then why do coaches care that anybody shows up?
You can't put Tom in the same bucket as everyone else.
But neither is Jordan Matthews in the same bucket as Julian Edelman. So if you're going to be throwing to Jordan Matthews during the season, maybe... don't you want to know what his gait is like? Don't you want to know how he looks from behind?
Even just to explain
something
that
Gronkowski is 4 weeks of training camp.
Busting your ass and he's running all these drills for somebody else.
4 weeks of training camp, you can figure that out.
I would also say even just like explaining plays and what he's looking for, even if the timing's not going to be the same.
4 weeks
concept.
Of training camp.
I've been led to believe that this time's really important over the years.
I have
so
been too, I guess, I feel like you've explained that to us yourself.
It is important for the majority of the 99% of the players.
Okay.
A guy like Tom... it's not like all of a sudden it's like, oh, Jordan Matthews' gait is at a plus three centimeters over. Like, it's like
Josh, LeBron. Write this down.
It's like, write this down. He's a plus three. You act like he's a sniper.
Do it again.
What's the wind? Let me check out the wind. His gait changes
so you're
in
saying,
the wind.
But you're saying 4 weeks of training camp.
I want all my receivers
camp.
To go to TB12 and measure your gaits and come back with the
that
results.
That is something I could
it's like,
I could
come
picture
on.
Him
come
saying.
I could do.
Okay.
Do it
you're
again.
Saying, you're
do
saying
it again.
You have 4 weeks to do that. That's a relatively condensed period. You think that's plenty of time?
Plenty.
Because he could have had 12.
Won't you have some other responsibilities during that time?
Could have 12 weeks or 10 weeks or whatever.
You know, during that time, I mean, not... when you're doing that whole offense install and all that crap at the beginning of camp, couldn't you have gotten gate references down now? Couldn't you have gotten gate study down?
There's nothing in the playbook that Tom doesn't know at this point.
I know.
It's
but
important for a guy like Matthews. It's important for a guy like Matthews. And he will be out there with a guy like Hoyer, who I'm not comparing Hoyer.
Same as Brady, right?
I'm not comparing. Let me finish. Not comparing those two.
Same
but
as
Hoyer
Brady.
Knows how to operate this offense.
Okay. Let me ask you this.
Can you yes. just. Okay.
Listen.
Can you, so the listeners can hear it, you agree with me? Okay, thanks. He's nodding his head.
Brady and Edelman.
Let the record show.
Brady and Edelman have gone to the field house and thrown together. Nothing would prevent Brady over the past few weeks from having done that to study the gait of different receivers. So before I rail about there having been no gait study at all, maybe that's happened.
We've also been told, like Josh McDaniels last week just said, you know, we've been working on things like nonverbal communication, body language.
You know
we're working on those things starting right now.
Don't show up.
Consider the source of the information, though, as well. Like, guys, do I have to take you guys and just say, hey, the Patriots have never been
It sounds
been
like your argument
give...
is basically Tom Brady's really good, and so this time doesn't matter to him. I'm just telling you, we've been told by dozens of other people but that this time does matter, think, even for him.
You've never noticed that the message coming out of the New England Patriots locker room is most of the time, and up until recent, I mean, now it looks kind of different, but for the most part, everyone's on the same page. This is what we're going to tell jokers like you guys. This is what we're going to say.
So you guys don't work on nonverbal communication or body language or any of that stuff?
Of course you work on body language.
That's what he said. Mm.
Who said that?
Josh McDaniels.
Oh, he's tired. Oh, he has his hands on his knees.
I think he was referencing, and I never got this, and this maybe is a subject of another podcast, but why you guys practiced in OTAs with no numbers on? What the heck was that?
Because you need to know their names. And okay. That's what, you can't be like, hey, 52, go do that.
Okay.
Oh, that's what you did to
it's
Amanda
like, no,
Roberts.
I say, I know people's names. You got to know their names.
So that's a good thing to learn
in
spring.
One of the things as rookies coming in, they, you know, they would have these pictures of the older players all around the facility. And Bill would say, hey, in the rookie meetings, who's that guy? Who's that guy? He would ask everyone. If you didn't know, you had to go study all these past players. It was like Jarvis Green. This is before I was like, how would I know Jarvis Green? I'm coming from Tennessee. Jarvis, you know, no one really knows what Jarvis looks like.
I do.
Well,
I
now
do too.
You've been covering the team 50 years. Tom Brokaw.
Next topic.
Okay. Next topic is Rob Gronkowski is 29, just to stick with Gronk very quickly. Do we feel like he has multiple very good years ahead
it's
of him?
Great age. Great age. 29 is prime age to retire.
Hey, you know, in 40
years. Exactly. Yeah.
In 40 years, he's going to be 69.
Oh,
come
he's
on.
He's got
man.
A long time
that's
to
why, no
plan
sponsor.
That party.
That's why no sponsor.
No sponsor. That's right. I think he has, if you were the Patriots and you were planning your future, how many years of having the best tight end in the world
sound
would
like
you plan on?
Does he not sound like a retirement commercial?
He does.
And you're planning your future.
I'm only, right. How many years does Gronk have left on his deal?
If you don't hear the question,
2019 is the end of the contract.
I'm letting him play it out.
So you're saying two more years?
As a GM, I'll probably be a GM one day in this league. So you should probably listen to
two more years. What if he's fully pliable and he doesn't get injured again next year? And now he's got 2 years of full health under his belt.
Doesn't matter. It's kind of like when you say, "Oh, let me go. What are my chances? You know, how are my chances improved if I buy 50 lottery tickets instead of one lottery ticket?"
Okay.
It's still, you still have, yeah. You know,
I agree with you. The chances, I think that's a decent, that's
does
a pretty
that make
good
sense?
Timeline.
Do you understand that? If you buy 100 lottery tickets and, or one, it's kind of like, I mean, probably just a smidge better chance.
Well, if you buy them all, you have a great chance.
What is buying them all?
Buy all the lottery tickets.
Yeah, people do that all the time.
Guys, guys,
okay,
it's a reason.
So Gerard says two
numbers.
More years. Tom Curran, you are on record for saying that Rob Gronkowski's newfound pliability has been a huge bonus to his game.
Yeah,
and we've argued that point. You and I. How many years do you feel like now that he's discovered this, he could play?
You know, you know, Gronk has been doing this for a long time.
No, he hasn't.
Yes, he has.
Not to the degree that
cut
he
the crap.
Currently is.
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying Gronk. The thing about it, Gronk.
Well, then why are you saying that you're trying to refute something you don't know what we're saying already? You said, you know, Gronk's been doing this for a long time. What are we
he's
doing
been,
what?
He's been on the TB12 plan for a long
not
time.
Not to the same level. After he got
feels
out
like
do you have
last
inside
year,
information?
Feels
yes.
Like, yeah,
do you have
he
inside
does.
Information?
Yes.
From who?
Well, I mean, you know, this comes a point
from
where
from who?
From who?
Would the information
we both
have
do.
A
we both do.
I mean, is there any bias? Is there any bias with where the information is coming from? Could you
no,
see that?
No, I would say we
no,
have
I,
all
think
right,
that
I would say we have information from all parties.
Yeah, multiple sides.
I just
including
like,
Gronk.
I'm just saying Alex has been working with the team for a long time.
Sure.
Okay, but
there
big
are,
difference
we've talked
between
about the degrees
that.
For the Guerrero plan and the Brady plan, right? So
big
he's on a different degree now.
Like, you worked with Guerrero. Would you consider yourself like a full-on apostle of the TB12 method? No. But Gronk, this
just
past,
let the record show, he just kind of shrugged his shoulders and did the
no,
side
I,
eye
I,
emoji.
No, I did. I went over there.
Yeah, yeah but you weren't but you a full-on, weren't, like, diet and all that shit.
No, I actually worked
you
with,
do
the,
your
I,
own
I worked
stuff.
With another guy over there named Chris. And the thing about it, I wasn't big time enough to get Alex's time.
Hmm.
Which is sad for you. But you also, like, you like you were a squat
no,
guy.
I
didn't
was
you have
a squat
record?
I was, yeah, I was
so
like
then,
a,
like, you
I was
weren't
a lifter. I was
fully
a lifter.
On
yeah.
the thing.
So that's the thing.
No, but totally. No, to your point, you know.
It's I, made a difference
Gronk,
for the kid.
It has made a difference for Gronk. Totally understand. I totally agree.
Was able to
do
move
you
him
agree
off
with
the
that,
spot
Phil?
Pretty good. No, he doesn't.
My argument has always been he was really freaking good in 2013
for
and 2014
sure.
and 2015.
Definitely.
So, like, has it made him a much better player? I don't really know. I would like a broader set of information.
My
I want another full year on the plan. If he doesn't get hurt and he has another great year, then tip of the cap.
But and if he gets totally hurt, if he blows an ACL, if something happens to him, I don't think it has necessarily to do. Look, he looks like a more
fluid
athlete
now. And it doesn't mean it's a failure
now
of the Guerrero
system
either.
Just got to finish
this
sentence.
Sorry.
Dying to.
Ooh.
Just looks like a more fluid athlete now than he did in 14, 15, and 16.
Are you guys going to fight?
Are you
guys going to fight?
No.
We'd love to see a fight
okay
on the podcast.
We have to hit one more topic before we go. Because Tom's
everybody in the group.
Tom's going
to
do a quick gambling
leave a mark
few minutes.
Somebody.
With a gambling expert.
I work with the new Taekwondo expert for the Patriots.
There we go. Okay.
Taekwondo.
So the new Taekwondo expert for the Patriots is
They've been doing that forever.
Joe Kim?
They have.
See?
They have been doing it.
They had a Navy SEAL.
Dom Razzo was down there.
Dom Razzo.
Sorry. Dom Razzo. Former Navy SEAL.
Former Navy SEAL.
Dynamis Alliance? What is this? Is that his company's name?
Yep. Dynamis.
Dynamis.
You do your research, Phil.
What is what's the point of this stuff?
Yeah, you know, those guys, you know, you look at it. I mean, it's not just Taekwondo, right?
Taekwondo.
Krav Maga, Haganah.
Oh, see, people now he's talking about showboat. Jiu-jitsu, peacocking around.
You know, using the momentum of the...
I heard Haganah's in there.
Yeah. You know, Aikido.
Okay, yeah.
Like all that stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Sure. Okay, so what's... Why?
No. So it's just... Well, first, if you look at, like, jiu-jitsu and, like... Stop. If you look at jiu-jitsu and things like that, it's just, I mean, they teach, I mean, pretty much teaching guys how to use the other player's momentum.
Okay.
Right? When you're talking about like Taekwondo and things like that, it's more about using your hands, seeing the strikes come from various angles. And when I say the strikes, I mean an offensive tackle shooting his hands out there. What do you do when you see these hands go out
chop
there? Yeah, but you can't. But this is the thing about like these experts, like the, you know, seventh degree black. He's not thinking, all right, if this guy does this, I'm going to up chuggy here, right? No, he's saying, look, if we can put you through these drills, it will just become second nature for you to do this move. Ba-ba! Now the owner bone is so sharp, you're just chopping away at
chopping people down.
So yeah. I would say an indication that this is backfiring is if Trey Flowers comes off the line and he tries to flip an offensive lineman, just get him on his back, pin him, and just...
There are no pins in
that
Taekwondo.
Would be defensive holding.
That's called wrestling.
That's a 5-yard penalty.
Grow up, Tom.
I would say one of the interesting aspects of the hire is the timing. Because their pass rush was not very good last year.
And I would say that Dom Razzo now is probably working with Detroit. Because he was Matty P's guy.
Gotcha. Interesting.
I would bet.
I actually was trying to track that down yesterday.
Now betting's legal.
I was trying to track that down yesterday.
Now betting's legal.
You called Dom Razzo?
Let's call him.
I want to know why he wasn't still with the team. He actually, I don't know if he was around last season. I
haven't talked to him in a while.
So we'll try to track that down. Where did Dom Razzo go? He is running his own business, so I feel like he's probably a pretty busy guy. Joe Kim seems to be someone who has been very focused. He has his own business as well in the Ohio area, and that's where Belichick first ran into him. Hired him to help with the Browns in the 90s. But he has been very focused on the NFL the last 20-ish years, it feels like. He recently worked with the Redskins. He's worked with the Browns a few different times, handful of other teams. So it will be interesting to see what kind of impact Kim has on the Patriots. Do you feel like – did it help? You said why, but like
– not for
do
a
you get a
like,
tangible benefit? Do you think defenders do? Not you,
I think
maybe,
guys but, on the line. I think guys on the line, being able to see like hands shot at them from different angles, I think it helps them. But guys like linebackers, off the ball guys,
doesn't really matter.
Doesn't really matter.
I guess he has worked with receivers and defensive backs in the past too.
Well,
because
that makes
of jams
sense,
at the line
yeah,
of scrimmage.
Jams. Yeah, that makes sense.
So, we'll
sorry,
watch
but,
closely.
But you have to kind of put this. So now, if all of a sudden they go out here and lay an egg, is this guy a failure?
No.
Is put it in the same bucket as if Gronk goes out here and tears an ACL? Is Alex a failure?
No.
Is the TB12 method of failure?
No.
I would say if Joe Kim helped the Patriots get one sack that they wouldn't have gotten last year, that the higher probably would be.
How do you measure that?
You'll see. Leave it to us. Leave it to us. You know what?
No, I'm saying
leave it to us.
If if Dietrich Twice comes out of nowhere with a hand move that you haven't seen.
A hand move you haven't seen?
And he puts his hands on somebody's shoulder pads and flips
them.
Why are you just repeating things? You know what, Joe?
Are they going to be Power Rangers?
You know what?
You're
in a situation right now, I think, where you're just being a doubter and a cynic.
You're really being Mr. Contrary today.
I'm a contrarian.
No, you're not. Usually.
You know what? Maybe somebody will get flipped, and maybe it'll be you, Jerod Mayo.
No, my thing is, no, I hope he helps the pass rush. My thing is,
he'll never get
credit.
How
are you guys? He'll never get credit. Yeah. And he probably doesn't even want credit. He's a seventh degree black belt. He's probably above all this.
No, he's right.
All this trivial.
That's true.
So, but my thing is,
Earth.
How do you guys, because you guys, by the end of the year, you guys will measure his impact on this team. As the media, you guys will measure. Like, oh, he didn't do a good job.
If I see somebody come up with something that I have not seen before and it looks like pretty refined hand movements, hand skills, then I'll say, hey, maybe he worked with Joe Kim and maybe that helped.
We're the experts.
Okay, so then the guy will never get credit.
Leave it to us.
You guys throw out these ambiguous claims.
So he'll never get credit.
That's fine.
Must be nice to live in that world that you live in.
I live in a fact-based world. There are no causes or effects. And it's white.
No, no causes or effects in the world of Jerod Mayo. Things just happen to happen sometimes.
No.
You just shrug your shoulders and you say, hey,
they
good
don't
job.
Come up with
no,
any
no,
sex
that's not
in Taekwondo.
So you guys aren't listening. That's not my point.
What's your point?
My point is that you guys will just write something because you saw a move that Trey Flowers just happened to do. And say, or he didn't do, or the numbers as a group will be bad. Yeah, I'm coming like jiu-jitsu. I'm coming right at you. The numbers, the sack total will go down. And then you guys will say, wow, this guy didn't help the Patriots.
That's
when
a good point.
Play calling is
fun.
Different. There are so many variables. The play calling is different. The teams they're playing against will be different, whether it's more shotgun teams.
Yeah, maybe next year they should try fencing.
There's so many different variables. For you guys to come out and say,
yes.
Or even like if Gronk was to get hurt, and then
when
all of a sudden.
When are you going to pass this back my way?
All right, go ahead. Take it.
What my job would be to go and ask if it was Dietrich Wise or Trey Flowers. I would go and ask him, and I would say,
see,
do you feel like
does.
The work you're doing with Joe Kim
I'm the one who does
has been
up,
helpful?
Okay?
What has he shown you? Why has this been good? Why has it not been great? Maybe I'll even get a chance to ask Joe Kim. He's been talking to the media the last handful of years.
And the other way, if Flowers comes out and has a bad year, would you say, hey, is Joe Kim hurting
you? I'll say, I thought Joe Kim was here. I didn't see one single thing with your hands all year. Sure.
You're not going to say that.
Of course I will.
You're not going to say that.
I think Trey Flowers is already pretty good with his hands, but I would do that.
He's great with his hands.
Okay.
So he doesn't need Joe Kim.
So if he gets worse, I'm going to say, what the hell happened with Joe Kim?
You're more investigative than Tom is, right? Tom just like
no,
sometimes.
He's investigative
not
too.
Really. He just
he
feels
is.
Your stuff.
That's not true. That's not true. Tom's down there. He asked.
You were in junior high when I was
not the tough
this
questions.
Team.
You don't ask the tough questions.
Yes, he does. Sure, he does.
You're not Tom Brokaw.
Okay, we got to cut it out there because Tom has to talk gambling. Stick around. Listen to Tom.
Come on,
chop it up.
Brett Smiley. So here's my guy, Brett Smiley. SportsHandle.com is where he is the editor-in-chief. It's the home for fans interested in regulated sports betting. As an independent company, they offer unbiased original reporting, insights from lawmakers, betting data from Nevada, reviews of legal sports betting games, and coverage of the major sports highlighted by the NFL. He is a lawyer, educated at Syracuse. He went to Penn. He's based in northern New Jersey, which is going to be the epicenter. It is Brett Smiley. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. It was a very kind introduction. I'll take all of it.
Good deal. Okay. Since you probably had your ear to the ground and knew that this was coming fairly soon and probably what the result would be, what happens next?
Well, I definitely did have a sense of what it would be, but there are definitely, as in sports betting, no guarantees at all. So anybody who says they knew were lying. Just in case, I'll give hopefully a very brief synopsis of what happened. Supreme Court said that a 1992 law known as PASPA, the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act, is unconstitutional. It encroaches on states' rights. This was a victory for proponents of states' rights as well. And the practical takeaway from it is that states that want to go ahead and legalize and regulate and tax sports betting may now do so.
New Jersey, I'm seeing New Jersey might have it done by the end of the month, Brett. So some places are a hell of a lot closer than others.
Monmouth Park Racetrack, they're looking to take the first legal wager in New Jersey in about 2 weeks.
So they practically speaking, can I walk in there then and bet on the Yankees? You know, minus, you know, 120 if Sabathia is pitching against Sale? I'll be able to do that.
Yes, I believe so. They got William Hill is going to be running the show. They manage about 60 to 100 sportsbooks out in Nevada. They've already picked out and invested in the sportsbook, and they're going to at some point have mobile wagering as well. So to actually answer your question, yes. I would imagine they have a fairly robust menu right off the bat.
So mobile wagering, and again, every state's going to be different, but if they're having mobile wagering in New Jersey, could you then be in New York since you're in northern New Jersey? Can you be in, Rockaway Beach and just say, you know what, I'm going to bet with my New Jersey account?
No, they have the technology to do the geo-tracking, so it's kind of like a geo-fence, the same way as Daily Fantasy. You know, that's why you and I right now can't download a Nevada sports betting app and do that. It's going to be state by state, and New York certainly doesn't want to get too far behind New Jersey, so they're going to hustle up and try and finish up a bill before the end of their session in June.
That's really interesting. So there will be, it could spread almost like a wildfire would. You know, New Jersey will hit, then New York will hit, Connecticut's probably going to hit, then Rhode Island's going to want to hit because they don't want to lose that revenue from people going over the state lines, and then that'll force Massachusetts, which loves to drag its feet, into pushing forward. Yeah. Is that a decent read from a half a layperson?
Yeah, that's an accurate assessment. A lot of these states are looking around. One New York assemblyman said they don't want to fall behind. I think it's going to move a little bit quicker than marijuana has, which I think is kind of a good parallel to what's happening here. We've been tracking the sports betting bills in various state houses across the country, red and blue states, and there's been hearings or at least proposed legislation in almost 24 states. There's a few states that are going to be ready to go soon this year, Pennsylvania, West Virginia. They've already legalized contingent upon the outcome of the case, which we now know.
Mm-hmm.
New Jersey, I think New York is going to get something done for reasons we discussed. And pertinent to your listeners, Massachusetts, they actually commissioned a pretty comprehensive study about the market, about sports betting in general. They did a good job, but I haven't seen any proposed legislation. And my power just got knocked out, so I don't have the legislative.
Oh, did you get smacked? Did you get smacked up with a thunderstorm today?
Yeah, and it scared the crap out of my dog, so I'm not happy about that.
It's not been good up here. We had baseball-sized hail. Baseball, not golf ball, not lacrosse ball, baseball-sized hail falling in Hudson. So how will this practically change gambling for the person who already gambles?
That's a money question. It's remains to be seen. I mean, some people are comfortable with their offshore sports books or their local bookie. Local bookies can offer credit. That's something that a legal regulated book will never be able to offer. And one of the things to watch here, too, is the leagues are trying to get a cut, and some states are creeping kind of high with their proposed tax rates. So if they're making it difficult for some of the state operators to to make a profit, some of that cost might be passed along to the consumer. In other words, it may be hard to capture some of that black market.
Mm-hmm. So if, for instance, if an individual bets on Bovada and they're betting, you know, 55 to make 50 on just, you know, straight bet on who wins, you might see it be a 58 to make 50 or a 57.50 to make 50 if it's a state bet.
Absolutely. And you know, the recreational bettor who hasn't been wagering before, who plops down a deposit, he may not care. He may not even notice, that the typical line is 10-10s. But somebody who's, you know, been doing this a while with whomever, Joe Schmo down the street or Bovada, you know, if they're comfortable with it, they don't mind, making deposits and getting them routed through Costa Rica or whatever, I imagine they're just going to status quo.
Do you think the NFL, Brett, will look different in 7 to 10 years in terms of the, and I'm not just saying how the game is played, but the surrounding in-stadium signage, what we see as our game day experience, the ads. I can totally foresee some stadiums and look, they're never going to be asleep at the switch when there are money-making opportunities. I could see us being fully inundated in no time flat with gambling ads, commercials, enticements.
Yeah, they're the NFL and the other leagues are certainly discussing any which way that they can monetize this. And I think that's the only real reason they've dragged their feet this long is how can we squeeze as much out of this as we possibly can. And it's a matter of how close do they want to get to it. You know, they had an equity stake. Bob Kraft did, and I think it was DraftKings, maybe FanDuel. I think the MLB is divesting of that because they don't want to be quite that close. But we've already seen the signage. The Lions, they're already hooked up with MGM Detroit. They have some sort of sponsorship agreement. So I think we'll definitely see that. I think maybe in 4, 5, 6 years, the NBA could have patches on their jersey the way they do now with StubHub and Harley Davidson. I don't think we're going to see kiosks in stadiums the way they have with soccer at Wembley or wherever. That might be a bridge too far. But TV ratings are definitely going to go up. They discussed this at the owner meetings back in March, and they're wetting their lips. I think it was one of the Hunts with the Chiefs who thinks that revenue could possibly increase to $25 billion. So, you know, they've long been opposed, but ultimately they know darn well that sports betting is good for business. It keeps people engaged during blowouts. It keeps people more engaged when there's more on the line. And, you know, they'll find a way to grow their pie.
One of the ironies of it, too, is, you know, the Hunts are longstanding owners, been involved not just with the Chiefs, but with the Texans, you know, the original Texans, Dallas Texans, who then became the Cowboys. But, you know, they understand it. The Rooneys, owners of the Steelers, very involved in gambling through the years. I believe the Maras were very involved in gambling. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. But it's funny how some of the hidebound NFL owners and teams and franchises were mobbed up, for lack of a better term, in the gambling industry for a period of time. And now they're acting a little bit holier than thou.
Yeah, I think you can throw the DeBartolos into that one as well. Yeah, it's been totally hypocritical. And in fact, the law that got struck down, that was pushed through, it traces back to Paul Tagliabue. He testified at those hearings about the scourge of sports betting and how it would annihilate the integrity and very existence of their games. So, you know, people have been betting on the NFL for a long time. You've kind of had to do it under the radar. Brent Musburger used to make those references. Of course, Jimmy the Greek, he couldn't exactly fire straight away. But, once the owners got invested in those daily fantasy companies, I think we kind of reached a turning point where it was beyond hypocritical.
Hey, this has been very informative for us. Don't be surprised if we try and get in touch with you again, Brett.
Yeah, it'd be my pleasure. It's a major tipping point we've reached here. It's pretty interesting. And just to see the avalanche of legislation, it surprised even in me, like 20-something plus states. Anyhow, I could go on, but yeah.
No, we appreciate it. Brett Smiley from sportshandle.com. He's the editor-in-chief. And where can they find you on Twitter?
At Brett Smiley, 2 T's.
At Brett Smiley, 2 T's in the Brett, and there's no T's in the Smiley. With an EY, folks, with an EY. Thanks a lot for your time.
My pleasure. Take care, guys.
Take care. All right, you know what? No Mayo, no Phil, just me and the Skull Crusher are here now. And that puts a wrap on this, and there goes Brett. That puts a wrap on Quick Slants, the podcast for this week. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope you enjoyed the television show. We invite you to put a 5-star review up there, okay? You want to do your 4 stars? Phil says that's okay. I don't think that's okay. Keep your 4 stars to yourself. Never mind your 1, 2, and 3 stars. 5 stars are nothing, okay? Talk to you next week.